Welcome to Torah Simcha Nachyomi with your Yomim's Initiative. My name is Hindi Mendelowitz. Today we are studying Sefer Shmuel Bet, Perek Yud Bet. And we begin with a quote from Chazal in the Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Dalid, Amud Bet. Says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Lo David ra'oi le'oto ma'aseh, v'lo Yisrael re'uyin le'oto ma'aseh. It was not worthy of the stature of David that he fell with the incident with Bathsheba, nor was it worthy of Klal Yisrael that they succumbed to, the temptation of the golden calf of the Egel. In the case of an individual of David, we find Shehekim Ola Shel Tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, allowed the sin to entrap David so that he could become the paradigm, the magnificent model of Tshuva for an individual, for a Klal Yisrael of all time. And the generation in the desert of the Egel become the paragon of tshuva for the klal, for the nation, for all time. The understanding of this in the Baalei Machshava is that always in life, there's a certain siyata dishmaya, a divine assistance that's offered to those who are worthy to lend them strength in rising beyond the temptations of the Yetzer Hara. And without this help, most of us would succumb every time. In the case of David with Bathsheba, in the case of Klal Yisrael at the Egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, withheld the siyata dishmaya they were worthy of, withheld the divine assistance, which would have enabled them to rise above temptation, and allowed them to their own devices, where they perhaps stumbled according to their level. So each David and Klal Yisrael on the Egel could become the model to every Jew for all time, that no matter how far a person has fallen, there is always a way back. Now we are in the place of having tried again with Siyata Dishmaya, it's the only way anything gets done, throughout Perek Yud Aleph, to attempt with the understanding of Chazal to put into context that which occurred between David and Bathsheba. It's my hope that we've come to the place of understanding that there is no actual halacha that was transgressed by David HaMelech, that his intentions were completely l'shem shamayim and above board at all times, that according to his level, there was more that was expected of him mishamayim. And this ended with Vayera hadavar asher asa David be'enei Hashem. Objectively speaking, there was no sin. Be'enei Hashem, in the eyes of God, there was more that was expected of David. And as such, he will now be confronted by the messenger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who will be Nasan Hanavi, Nasan the prophet, who was at David's side as his spiritual guide throughout. And he will be dispatched to David with a particular message. The medium of the message will be that of a mashal, that of an analogy, because there's a complexity here. As we all know, when it comes to the people who are convinced they are righteous, maybe even convinced they're saving the world, it's hardest to persuade them that they have to change course. The blaze of their tzidkut sometimes blinds them to where they're off track. Now, the case here is that, objectively speaking, David has not transgressed any law. He has acted above board and legitimately according to halacha. As such, Nasan HaNavi will have to approach him with a mashal, where he'll declare the truth as he sees it. Nasan will then be in position to take that truth, flip it as the mirror for David, and have him confront his own lacking in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so we begin. Pasuk Aleph. Vayishlach Hashem es Nasan el David, vayavo elav, vayomer lo. Nasan approaches David and says to him, Shnei anashim hayu b'ir echas, echad ashir ve'echad rash. There were two people in a particular town. One was very wealthy, and one was destitute. Le'ashir hayatzon uvakar habe ma'od. The rich one had many, many cattle. V'larash ein kol. And the other, the rash, was destitute, had nothing. Ki im kifsa chas ktana asher kana. V'yechayeha v'tigdal imo v'im banav yachtav. Mipito sochal u'mikoso sishte u'v'cheko sishkav v'tihilo kivas. The impoverished one had nothing except one small sheep that he had bought, that he raised, who grew with him and his family, like one of the family, ate from his bread and drank from his cup, slept in his bosom, and was as if a daughter to him. Now the nimshal here is clear to those of us who have our eyes open. The wealthy one, the one who had many wives, was David. And the one who had only one was Uriah HaChiti. The Kivsa Ktana refers to Batsheva. Ashel Kana, who underwent a process of Kiddushin, who was married by Uriah. She is referred to here as Vatihilo Kivas. This alludes to the position of the Zohar HaKadosh, which actually states that Batsheva and Uriah never had intimate relations in the time they were officially married. Now, as we see very clearly the Nimshal as it falls, it continues. Pasuk Dalid. Vayavo helech li'ish he'ashir. A wayfarer came to the home of the rich man. Vayachmol lakachas mitzono ubkaro. He was stingy. He did not want to take from his own abundant sheep or cattle. La'asos la'oreach habalo. To feed the visitor who had come. Vayachas kivsas ha'ish harash. Vayaseha la'ish haba elav. And stingy, not wanting to diminish his own wealth and take of his own numerous cattle to feed the guest. Instead, he stole the one little sheep that belonged to his poor neighbor. The fascinating insight Rashi, quoting Chazal and Sukkah Nun Bet over here, is not only to bring truth to the eyes of David, but to inform all of us. We notice a changing language in the story of this guest who came. He's first identified in Pasuk Dalet as Helech, a wayfarer. He then is identified as an Oreach, a guest. And finally, he is the Ish, the man. Rashi points out this is actually the progression when we are visited by the Yetzer Hara. First, he's a wayfarer. He's a stranger. We don't know him. He's foreign. We want to have nothing to do with him. But then he becomes the Oreach. At first, he's strange, he's different, he's outside. But then we invite him in. And once we invite him in, he takes off his shoes, he puts them up on the table, he makes himself his own coffee, then he tells us to clean up the mess, and he becomes Bal Habayit, telling us where to go and what to do. This is how we let down our defenses, where at first sin seems strange and outside. But as we invite it in, it takes over our space and more defines who we are. David, hearing of this injustice, of the man who had numerous sheep, yet stole the lone lamb belonging to his poor neighbor, David is enraged. Pasuk Hey, the response of David. Vayichal af David ba'ish me'od. He's very angry at this rich man who stole the sheep of the other. Vayomer el Nasan, Chai Hashem. I swear the man who did this must die. Now the fact is, halachically, in a Beit Din, that would not be the punishment such a person would receive. Pasuk Vav outlines what is actually the punishment mandated by halacha. Ve'esha kivsa yishalem arba'atayim. A person who steals the sheep of another must pay back fourfold. Ekev al shel ases hadavar hazeh va'al asher lo chamal. In a Beit Din, one who steals the sheep of another would have to pay back fourfold. David here is exercising not the halacha of a Beit Din, where there is a particular isur veheter, what is forbidden, what is not, what is allowed, and the punishment that is defined by halacha. But David is exercising mishpat as only a king can. A king has the right to dispense mishpat according to how he sees the context and the background. And he has mechanisms that are above the legal strictures of a Beit Din of a Jewish court of law. Whereby, if a person would appear as a thief before a Beit Din, it matters not whether he's wealthy or poor. It matters not if he's trying to feed his starving children or he's embezzling millions from the government. There are halachot of what a thief must pay as restitution, and it is equal for all. A king has the jurisdiction to look at the context. David sees a person who had much, whereas the victim had little. Not only that, they're neighbors, and they live in the same city, in the same town. The rich one should have known how important this little sheep was to its owner, and not descended to the level where in his stinginess he would take it from the other. As such, David is enraged and says, Chai Hashem ki ben maves ha'ish ha'oseh zos. Not only must he pay four times, this person must die, because the background says that the sin is much worse than the objective way in which it presents. This is the perfect mechanism. because when we speak of David HaMelech himself, as we've tried with great humility to understand, there was no halacha that David transgressed. There was no sin of eshet ish, of adultery. There was no sin of retzach, of murder, and sending Uriah to the battlefield to die. We try to understand this. However, as only a king could, and as only Beit Din Shel Mala, the heavenly court, could, that which happened between David, Bathsheba, and Uriah, while not halachically punishable in a court of law, was beneath the level expected of David Melech Yisrael. And just as David could impose on the fictional person in this situation a death penalty, when actually he was only chayav in a court of law to pay four times the value of the sheep, so too David has proclaimed really in his own judgment, while halachically he could not be tried in a beit din for any sin, klapei Shmaya, from the king's point of view, the heavenly king, David is a person from whom much more is demanded, and he will have to pay. Al ba'atayim, he will have to pay four times for what he sinned. There will be four children he will have who will cause him great pain. The child Bathsheba conceived, Amnon, Tamar, and Avshalom. But not only that, there will be more. Pasuk Zayin, Vayomer Nasan el David, says Nasan to David, Ata ha'ish. This was a fictional story. This man didn't exist. You are the man. And as the Baal Shem Tov states, this is the statement that will be said to each of us when we face the Din V'cheshbon at the end of our lives. Where throughout our lives, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us in situations where we judge other people. At the end of our own time, he will say to us, Ata ha'ish. The way you judged others is the way you are to be judged. Nasa now quotes HaKadosh Baruch Hu in describing the tremendous chesed he has done for David thus far. Ko amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, so spoke God, Anochi mishachticha lemelech HaYisrael, v'anochi yitzalticha miyad Shaul. I anointed you as king, I saved you from Shaul. I gave you the house of your master of Shaul, his wives, and I gave you dominion over all of Yisrael and Yehudah. Pasuk Tet, and this really becomes a statement to every single Jew, facing the overwhelming chesed each of us enjoys from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Madua bazisa es dvar Hashem, lasos hara be'inai. Why have you scorned the chesed that I have done to do that which is evil in my eyes after all the chesed I've poured upon you? How could you betray that? Es Uriah hachiti hikisa b'cherev, ves ishto lakachta lecha le'isha, ve'oso harakta b'cherev bnei Amon. The Navi here enumerates the chetz as they are perceived be'enai, in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not objectively as we discussed as they were facts on the ground. But you brought Uriah to his death, you took his wife, and the double horror of that he was killed by Cherev bnei Amon at the hands of terrible enemies. And because of that, Pasuk Yud, Ve'ata, lo sasol cherev mibeischa ad olam, ekev ki bizisani. Besides whatever is the lack on David's part, there is also kibizi sani, the chilul Hashem that is the result of that which occurred. For the chilul Hashem, the Navi says, David will be chayav mita. David must die. Vatikach es eshes Uriah chiti lios lecha leisha. Koamar Hashem, so speaks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hinini mekim alecha ra'a mibeisecha. The evil will come from your own home. Velakachti es nashecha le'enecha v'nasati le're'echa. I will take your own wives and they will be given to your peer. We will see that will be his son Avshalom. V'shachav yim nashecha le'enei ha'shemesh hazos, and he will be intimate with your wives in full view. Ki ata asisa basosir, v'ani e'ese'es hadavar hazeh neged kal Yisrael v'neged ha'shemesh. Chazal points out that when David recognized the enormity of the chilul Hashem that would be the result of his actions, he begged HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bury it, to keep it secret, to not let this face the light of day, to prevent the chilul Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds with, you acted with what you thought was secrecy, but I will make this public. The chesed for David and for Klal Yisrael is that in exposing himself to the shame of public exposure of his sin, David then became the public model of how a Jew repairs and of how a Jew comes back with the tremendous power and chesed of tshuva, which is the greatest gift he has given to Klal Yisrael. Pasuk Yud Gimel, we see the magnificence of the tshuva of David HaMelech, which is, it seems, the end result and the reason we had to know and learn and tread through all this. Vayomer David el Nasan, the immediate reaction of David. If we thought it would be hard for him to face the facts, if we thought he was right and thus he would resist, the most beautiful words we may see for a while. Chatasi Lashem. David immediately, in the grandness, the majesty of his tshuva, of his humility, accepts. And without explaining or defending or rationalizing, he says, I have sinned. This is the first statement of what will become an intensive and tremendous tshuva effort on David's part, which is highlighted in the Torah Shebe'al Peh. But the immediate reaction of David's acceptance, of David's confession, is the immediate amelioration of his punishment. Whereas we said David was considered chayav mita, he would die as a result of this sin. When he says, Chatasi Lashem, the response in Pasuk Yud Gimel is, Vayomu Nasan el David, says Nasan, the Navi, to David, Kam Hashem he'evir chatascha lo somus. Because you immediately embraced your role in this, with Chatasi Lashem, I have fallen short, therefore, the death sentence upon you is removed, you will not die. However, other elements of the punishment will still be imposed. Pasuk Yudalid. Efes kini etni atta es oyvei Hashem badaval hazeh. You caused a chilul Hashem amongst the enemies of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through this manner. Gam haben hayelod lecha mos yamus. You will live, but the child born to Bathsheba will die. Vayelech Nasan el beiso. Nasan returns to his house. Vayegov Hashem es hayeled. Asher yalda eshes Uriah le David vaye anash. And the baby born to Bathsheba and David became deathly ill. Pasuk tet zayin, vayevakesh David es elokim. David, the model of tshuva. David, the model of a grief-stricken father, of a baby boy who was very ill. And the response immediately is turning to tefillah, where David beseeches HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though it's been predetermined and said by the Navi, this child will die. There is always a place for a Jew to daven. Be'ad hana'al on behalf of the child. Vayatzam David tzom, he fasted. Uva vilan v'shachav olza, and slept only on the ground. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayakumu ziknei ve'so alav lehakimo min ha'aretz. Those in his household, the elders, tried to lift him from the ground, to restore him. Velo ava, velo vara itam lachem. He did not wish to get up from the ground, he did not wish to eat. Vayihi bayom ha-shvi'i, on the seventh day, vayamas hayoled. As predicted, as foreseen, the child died. Vayiru avdei David lahagid lo ki meis hayoled. And his servants were afraid to tell him that his baby had died. Ki amru, hinei v'yos hayeled chai dibanu elav v'lo shama bekoleinu. V'eich nomar elav meis hayeled v'asa ra'a. When the child was alive and we spoke to him, he wouldn't listen. How can we now tell him that his child has died? Pasuk Yutet, v'yal David ki avadav mislachashim. David saw everybody whispering. V'yaven David ki meis hayeled. And he understood that his baby son had died. V'yomer David el avadav hames hayeled. He asked them, did the child die? V'yomru mes, and they said, he has died. Whereupon a most unexpected reaction from David. V'yakam David meha'aretz, v'yachatz, v'yasech, v'yichalef simlosav, v'yavo beis Hashem, v'yishtachu. David, upon hearing of the death of the child, then got up from the ground, washed himself, changed his clothing, came and bowed down before HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Mishkan, vayavo el beiso, vayishal, vayasimu lo lechem vayochal. And only then did he eat. And if all of us are puzzled at this reaction, where when the child was alive, he was in mourning, and when the child died, he got up, his servants were confused as well. Vayomu avadav elav, said the servants to him, ma hadavar hazeh asher asisa, ba'avor hayeled chai tzamta, vatefk, when the child was alive, you were fasting and crying. Now that the child died, you get up and you eat. And here again is David, the model for every Jew, in setting things so straight. And David explains, when I was fasting and crying, it was not from tsa'al. It was not useless, nameless grief that I didn't know where to put. It was focused, it was proactive. Pasuk Chaf Bet. Vayomer, Be'od HaYeled Chai, while the child was alive. Tzamti, Vo'evkeh. I was fasting and crying, not from just grief. Ki amalti, mi yodea, v'chanani Hashem, v'chai hayaled. This was not grief, this was entreaty. This was my davening, this was my fasting in tshuva, this was my effort to all I could in my spiritual arsenal to change the decree. While there is yet a chance, a Jew does not give up. And David was beseeching HaKadosh Baruch Hu to spare the child and let him live. Once the child is dead, the answer has been given. Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Ve'ata meis. Now the child is dead. Lama ze ani tzam? Ha'uchal ha'shivo od? There's nothing left for me to do. Again, this was not nameless grief. This was effort on David's part to change the gzerah. Once the gzerah was delivered, there is the pivot that a Jew must master, where as long as there is space for change, we beg, we plead, we daven, we hope. Once that door is closed, the Jew with emuna accepts. Ani holech elav, v'hu lo yashuv elai. Eventually I will die and join this child. He will not come back to me. And once that is done, the Jew switches from entreaty, from tefillah, from proactive spiritual attempts to change who I am, to change the decree, to accepting Dvel Hashem once there's no space left. Pasuk Chav Dalid. Vayenachem David es Bas Sheva, Ishto, he comforted Bas Sheva. Vayavo Eleh, Vayeshkav Ima, Vatelet Ben. And he was with Bas Sheva, who conceived and gave birth to another child. Here's the Kri Uchtiv, either it is Vayikra or Vatikra, Es Shmo Shlomo, Vahashem Ahevo. The child was called Shlomo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved the child. And it seems clear that David and perhaps Bathsheba also understood through Ruach HaKodesh that this was the child who would build the Beit Hashem, this was the child who would give birth to Mashiach. This is the child who is the gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to indicate that the tshuva of David has been accepted. Vayishlach biyad Nasan Hanavi, Vayikres Shmo Yedidia. Whereas David and Bathsheba called the child Shlomo, the Navi Nasan came and gave him another name, Yedidia, Ba'avor Hashem, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved this child. Again, the greatest statement possible at this time to the bereaved parents, that the tragedy of whatever was the sin was repaired, that the distance had been closed, that the tshuva of David is accepted, and that this child will fulfill the promises made to him. The rest of the Perek describes the continuation of the battle that was interrupted with this particular story, where Vayilachem Yoav Berabas Bnei Amon. Yoav continues the battle with the people of Amon and actually conquers the city. The Pasuk describes that Yoav, who was ever the unilateral protector and defender, sometimes to an extreme, of the kavod, of the honor of David, called David in to actually finish the deed of conquering the city of Ammon, to give him the kavod to do so. Now, we've seen previously that David had retreated from the battlefield. Yoav understands that David's reputation has suffered as a result of the incident with Bathsheba, and there are people who doubt if he still holds the role of the leader or Mashiach of Hashem. Yoav gives David the privilege of conquering the city of Ammon, to restore the reputation that has been tarnished. In Pasuk Lamed, Vayikach es ateres malkam me'al rosho, he takes a magnificent crown from the head of the king of Ammon. And Chazal described this crown as weighing something close to 100 pounds, where there was an elaborate mechanism over the throne that suspended it over the head of David. Even more wondrous, it seems that this crown had certain miraculous properties where it would only fit on the head of a descendant of David, who was worthy of the Malchut. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Ve'ez Ha'am Asher Ba. And the Pasuk then describes the punishment inflicted by David upon the people of Ammon in a circle that closes with indications from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the tremendous tshuva, sincere efforts to repair damage done on David's part, had been accepted and blessed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sefer Shmuel Bet is sponsored by Hilton and Leah Lightman, Lila Yishmot, their parents. Shmuel ben David, Chana bat Yaakov Chaim, Kolonimus ben Chaim, and Saratema bat Menachem Mendel.